This interview is with Mr. Robert Chance, teacher, Bel Air Town Commissioner, and for our purposes today, director of the Bel Air Recycling Center. This interview is taking place on Monday, February 23rd at Mr. Chance's classroom in Building 1 in Bel Air Senior High School.
Introduction. This interview is with Mr. Robert Chance, teacher, Bel Air Commissioner, and for our purposes today, director of the Bel Air Recycling Center, which is an incorporation known as the Susquehannock Environmental Center, a nonprofit community corporation. The center itself has been in operation for just over 4 years. As far as being the pioneer effort of its type in the county, there was a small group at Bel Air High School around 1970 who tried to set something up on county parking lot land off Hickory Avenue. It lasted about a half a year and folded. It's the only effort that has superseded and maintained itself throughout the years, especially when markets were slim and most of the materials couldn't be reclaimed. The materials that are accepted at the recycling center are glass jars, which we call cullet. They should be cleaned out and put in shopping bags by the appropriate color of green, brown, or clear, and if possible, remove the metal rings around the necks of the bottles. Tin cans can be accepted of all types, the bimetal pop-top cans, the aluminum cans, and your whole tin plate cans. Just put in one separate bag and we'll sort them as to variety. Newspaper can be accepted at the recycling center, which should be bundled in about 18-inch stacks. We cannot accept magazines or cardboard for recycling. We can accept data processing cards, and computer paper. We used to be able to accept tires, but the markets have fluctuated too much through Firestone, and we try to shy away from collecting them presently. The amounts of material we've handled at the center over the years is mind-boggling. I would like to have a mound of paper as tall as the amount we've recycled over the years. We figure we get about 9 to 10 tons a week. For every ton of paper that gets recycled, 17 trees are saved or not need to be cut down. I would say we've hit the million-pound mark in newsprint, probably not in metals or glass, but it's been a continual effort. There's not been any breaks in our collection, and I'm sure the amounts in actual volume are mind-boggling. And they had to be put into the county landfills, which would take up a large capacity of the landfill's volume. The materials are gathered in several different ways. Sometimes we go out in different pickup routes with our van to different subdivisions and neighborhoods on opposite Saturdays to collect their recyclables. Majority of our volume is obtained by individuals bringing the materials to us, either usually on Wednesdays or Saturdays, and they stay for maybe 3 or 3 months before they have enough volume to bring it up themselves. It is strictly voluntary except for the collections in the neighborhoods. The input of refuse materials has varied over the years. We used to get practically all just tin cans. Now mostly it's bimetal cans, and aluminum is really increasing by the month. More different volume in aluminum containers is increasing. Our volume today is higher than it's ever been before. When we first moved to Tollgate Road from Rock Spring Avenue, we had a definite decrease in our volume. People didn't want to drive the extra half mile outside of town. They didn't know where we were, and the apathetic level rose, and people just stopped recycling. Gradually, they have returned through our media publications, through bumper stickers, through just spreading of word of mouth, and now our volume is higher than it has ever been before. The attitudes of the public towards recycling center has also changed. In 1971, it was a unique token grasp thing by just a few people. Gradually, as the public became more aware of how easy it is to recycle and how it is each individual's responsibility to be self-sufficient and do away with his materials that he has used, people are trying to be more ecologically aware. And at least with the newspaper, many people are just recycling newspaper because it's so easy. Glass and tin, you have to clean it out and stack it somewhere for a while. But basically, I would say that the public has become more aware of the recycling center, and the materials that come into the center are prepared in a much more proper manner now than they ever were before. We've been handing out pamphlets for the different methods of how to prepare each material. It is difficult to obtain personnel at the center, especially if the weather is cold or rainy. We have a lot of people on sunny days. We've gone through about 800 to 900 different workers in the last several years. They come from Bel Air High School, from John Carroll, from Scouts and 4-H, just interested community citizens. Basically, I recruit the people from my classroom or just through neighborhood newsletters. After they work at the center for several times, they are considered a member, receive a patch, and receive a set of basic rules and procedures. But we've gotten over the main hump of having, we usually have at least your basic skeleton crew that maintains of a half dozen to a dozen people. The opportune number of people to run the center would be about 25 to 30, and working in shifts. The level of the enthusiasm is not as great as it was in the ecological awareness of 1970-71 and the Earth Day celebrations. It was a faddish item then. People that are still working there are the ones that have serious disciplines and are they're conscientious, and they're not just working for something on the bandwagon. That has since returned other fads. And the energy crunch certainly put a douse on the fire of the ecology movement. I find that we still have an awful lot of people coming to the center, but there isn't that ecological enthusiasm of just carrying banners and burying cars and just trying to make people aware of pollution. Basically, the idealism is gone, and the practical application of some of the rules, some of the main federal regulations are gradually being enforced, but it's a slow, rocky road. Would one call the recycling center a precursor to the consumer movement and grassroots action? What's precursor mean? It
means something that the first one, the prototype. Something that
I would think that recycling centers were an early sample of consumer involvement and grassroots, but I'm sure that before recycling, there were other actions from the local level that made people want to fight for something they believed in. You could go back to Vietnam or civil rights or ban the bomb, but I would say ecologically, recycling is probably one of the most basic things that people, they feel they can do their little share of something. They feel that even though it's just a drop in the bucket, I'm helping out my own small way. And this has probably spread to more consumer revolutions, consumer reports, and people just checking out things and working more from citizens groups, legal and voters, participation by organized volunteers to try to make for a more responsive local government. The reduced prices that are paid for the waste do interfere with the extent of our operations. This time 2 years ago, we were receiving about $35 a ton for newsprint, $20 for glass. Our present prices are $10 for glass, $25 a ton for tin, $20 a ton for paper, and 300 a ton for aluminum. We used to have enough money to help Osprey research, to buy t-shirts and gifts for the workers, to expand our ideas on alternative structures and solar heating. Today, with the increased prices for hauling the materials and for rental of the containers, we barely break even. Our production on our other projects is practically nil. We paid $4,000 for the completion of our building, and we're still paying off the van, insurance procedures, and just making ends meet, buying lunches for the workers and whatever. So the reduced prices do reduce the clout of the environmental movement. But many recycling centers completely folded during the recession on the price of paper. The reason why, they glutted the market with so much volume of newsprint. And when they did this, the price naturally went down. Now the different consumers and large pulp warehouses have reduced their supply and they're accepting it again on a smaller scale.
You mean that the recycling centers increased the flow of paper that much that it hurt them?
There was so many different scouts and 4-H and different from major ed corps and Job's Daughters, everybody getting on the paper reuse market over the country, that it glutted the market with such a new volume.
And it was still more practical for the companies to go out and cut down the pulp rather than paper to paper.
This is an interesting point. The only thing that's hurting the recycling center movement from really gaining momentum is President Ford, who said in his WIN program he was really behind recycling centers, when in reality, all he would have to do is sign one bill that makes it competitive, taxation-wise, to haul scrap instead of hauling virgin materials, the transportation routes. Right now, it's much more expensive to haul scrap or any kind of recycled product than it is to haul raw pulp or coal or other ores. It's a very discrepant relationship. All they would have to do is make it much more economical by making it competitive. To make it, maybe this is the same amount of money to haul scrap as it is to haul the virgin material.
Do you think he might have done this just as a sop to the producers because the ecological crusade was getting that powerful that it was endangering industry?
I don't think so. I think that they always had these benefits long before the environmental movement started. This country stresses consumption rather than conservation. It's a very greedy economy here. There has been a change in awareness of the public. The government is now trying to use recycled paper in many instances. It is more expensive to buy recycled paper because, as I told you before, the increased taxations. They're trying to buy returnable bottles or government land. The business community, I would say the change has been nil. They always had closed deaf ears. The public cares more about ecology, but they were squelched by the crunch of energy consumption. People had to decide if they wanted aesthetics or if they wanted to have more reindeer in the forest. And basically, the people that lost were the ones that were trying harder to evolve an awareness in the public. The next step with regards to recycling centers is to make them municipally run. Make them a department of the public works branch of a government. And when they use this new attitude about recycling centers to make them just a part of your landfill operation. Maybe every Tuesday people bundle newspapers. At a certain day they put out their glass. Certain other times they'll put out their tires to be recycled. So I would say that a municipal law make people have to recycle and making them a branch of the public works departments and just maybe helping the government with different ideas, maybe the next step recycling centers will take. ecological future of Harford County is in jeopardy, not only because of increased solid waste and no place to put it, but the haphazard way of running the county, the council executive clashes, and no foresight in the long-term future of the county's water supplies, its land use patterns, its siltation, and just basically what kind of light industry is being induced to incorporate in this county. Many have blamed the state of the economy on environmental protection crusades. What there has to be is a combination of ecologic and economic priorities. Find middle ground. Work where you can't be so idealistic and to expect them to stop all development or allow all trees to maintain. There's going to be some destruction of the environment, but if it's a well-planned, thought-out pattern in how they develop the county, most environmentalists will have to concede that this will be better than the present trend. I would think that as the economy gets better and more monies are pumped into development and resurrection of stagnated industries, probably consumption will increase. Therefore, the amount of recyclables will also increase, and people will once again regain any awareness they had in protection of the environment. But it will have to be done mostly through legislation and through the media and through people telling other people about how to live more ecologically. Thank you.
Mr. Chance, many people have brought up just what happens to the things that come to the center. We know pretty well what happens to the paper.
Okay, that's a good question. The glass gets smashed up in 55-gallon drums and dumped into a large 20-ton slatted pickup. Then it gets shipped to Maryland Glass Company on 25th Street. Then it gets melted in a large vat and filled into molds, which reform new glass bottles. They can use up to 60% old crushed cullet in the formation of new glass. With the tin, we haul it out every Wednesday through the Harford County DPW department to Vulcan Chemicals at Spires Point, where it gets melted down and it forms ingots, and then they resell the whole metal ingot. The paper gets shredded up in large vats with hot water, and then the pulp, or the cellulose, floats to the top as a scum. It gets clipped off and is put on a large pulley system where it forms paper again. The tires get shredded up at Firestone retreading and are used in the production of new rubber tires. The aluminum gets sold to Reynolds Aluminum in Richmond, Virginia, where it gets reprocessed into aluminum cans.
Then all of these things are made exactly into what they were made into before.
Yes, except for sometimes the tires get used as artificial fishing reefs.
Oh, where they take them and stick about, so many together and...
They tie them together and drop them off the coast, and the fish seem to become attracted to the non-biodegrading shelter area.
I heard they did that with old cars, they use a boiler bed.
Yeah, right.
What about, isn't any of this glass used for asphalt? I read somewhere that sometimes they...
They used to use it. Glass fault. There's only about 7 or 8 experimental miles. It's really a beautiful sight because when the sun hits it, it looks like a diamond. And they find that it does last as long as the grain or coarse sand-based road paving. But the problem is they just can't get enough of the cullet to make it a regular process being used. It seems that there aren't enough reclamation centers handling in glass. At least that's the excuse that the glass container industries use today for not using glass fault. And it is a fact that they have been hassled and their consumption reduced because of the plastics industry competition.
I also wanted to ask you this question about, again, referring to the future of the environment in Harvey County. What will happen if things go on like they are? What do you think will happen?
Well, I think megalopolis is going to spread over into this county. Land values are going to get astounding. The increased crime and other urban-like problems will be welcome. And basically, we're going to run out of space for our solid waste. We're going to have to limit the amount of cars that a family can have. We're going to have to have only alternative days for certain people to use their machinery. I think it's going to be mandatory that we have to recycle. I think that all of these ideas will only come about through consumer awareness and through different groups working with elected officials to develop comprehensive, practical policies. I can't really foresee what will happen. I guess we'll just follow the same path as other blighted environments where the urban sprawl just continues to engulf the farmland, and you have haphazard planning, and the amount of problems in relation to the water quality through siltation, the traffic, the overcrowded classrooms, the apathy level, and just the basic general quality of life will gradually go downhill.
Well, I remember myself the difference in this area from just 10 years ago and how much things have become built up and how much things have changed, and not all of it, not very much of it all, as a matter of fact, has been for the better.
For sure. Look at Hartford Mall and the bypasses and the proposed high-rises and jet ports. Many people come to Harford County expecting to find rolling farms and countryside. They aren't ready for the 7-Elevens and the gas stations and the proposed bike, trail bike courses. I don't know what we can really say to justify the growth pattern. I guess it's inedible on the Joppatown Edgewood corridor on Route 40 and Route 1. It seems to me like you compare Towson to Dundalk and Essex to Bel Air and Joppatown. And the future is in the hands of the voters, who they elect, and then how skillfully they can develop departments that successfully allow for some proposed growth and trying to keep the developers and the preservationists happy by finding middle ground for equilibrium.
Well, that just seems to be the biggest problem, finding that middle ground.
It certainly does, doesn't it? It certainly does.
Especially now with things the way they are, with supposedly the recovery is supposedly started. No one seems to have told a lot of people that yet, but
I've met recently with some buyers, and they say their prices have not found the ceiling yet. The prices on raw materials, especially oil-based fibers, and some of your farm products, they don't seem to find any leveling off process. I think that the environmental breakdown has been the scapegoat for your energy companies and for your just pro-development and consumption industries.
Well, I know that's been particularly the case with regards to offshore drilling. They say that if it hadn't been for the environmentalists, they would have been able to, they would have had a 2-year head start.
Yeah. And now the pipeline is a whole other issue. But I don't see what we can do to really stop some of this development. It has to happen to a certain amount. But
are there any materials that haven't been brought to your center that you'd like to see? Anything in particular that could be handled by you that isn't?
We could do a lot more with computer paper and with data processing cards, 8 cartons, and paper bags.
How about plastics?
No.
There isn't really a way to recycle plastics.
I don't have any idea where I could go with them. I throw away an awful lot of milk cartons as it is.
The plastic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chance, for this interview.
My pleasure. I hope the next time I talk with you, I'll be in better health.
Thank you very much.
Okay.